So last week we started this little series of walking with Jesus on the book of Colossians. And just to take you back and remind you again where we said that Paul says your walk gives you away. By the way in which you walk, you can see exactly who you are. And then he said we walk this old life, this MMI life, this me, myself, and I life, until the day that we walked right into Jesus. And he took our old shoes off and he put his shoes on there and we started walking the Jesus walk, which changes your life completely. I want to go a little further with that this morning and kind of a kickback, saying so if I bumped into Jesus and I walked into Jesus and Jesus said, so I'm going to change your MMI life and I'm going to give you my shoes, how does he look like and how should we look like? To do that, I'm going to take you to Colossians chapter 1. Because it speaks all about who Jesus is. So it's easy to talk about the Jesus walk, but who is Jesus? And when we find out who Jesus is, what are the consequences in our lives if we say he is that Lord? I did bump into him. He has changed my life and how should I live that? So go with me to Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 13. So for he, that is God, has rescued us from the dominion, so the power, the authority of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. It's such a beautiful text that I can actually just say, just read it and let's read it again and go home and go read it the whole day and just see the whole gospel. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And when he rescued us, he took us out of that and he put us in a new kingdom, the kingdom of his Son that he loves. And how did he do this? Through the redemption that is the forgiveness of our sin. So see, he says immediately who we are. This is who we are. We do not walk in darkness anymore. We are forgiven. We live in a kingdom of love, and God took the sins away. Now he's going to say, who did that? And how did he do that? When he speaks of Jesus. And listen again to this beautiful text. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. You see Jesus, you see God. The firstborn over all creation. For in him, Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He's just saying, there's no one like Jesus. He, Jesus, is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Now it changes gears a little bit. Two verses in this hymn. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. So that in everything, he might have, and look at this beautiful word, the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness, God's fullness, dwell in Jesus. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. How? By making peace through his blood that was shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, MMI walk. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope that is held out in the gospel. And this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the word of the Lord. It is so beautiful. I don't even know if I can preach on this. Let me take you back a little bit and use your imagination. And the old TV and stuff has taken all our imagination away, but try hard. I want to take you back to Calvary. And that moment when they nailed Jesus to the cross, and when the earth went dark, and the Lord Jesus breathed his last breath, and he died. And in a moment in your mind's eye, I want you to see Satan. I don't often ask you to think of him. But I want you to see Satan and all of the darkness and all of these authorities and all of these powers. I want you to see them in that moment. And as you see them, they are celebrating in joy their victory, because Christ is dead and Christ is overcome and Christ is going to be put in the grave, and victory belongs to Satan and darkness and sin, and God is lost and we are lost and we are slaves and Satan is happy. Three days, the celebration goes on. And then that stone is rolled away, and the Son of God walks out of that grave. And Satan and sin and the authorities and the powers realize, oh boy, we got it wrong. He was not defeated on the cross. That was his moment of victory, when he changed everything. And in that moment, sin lost and could never win again. Satan lost and would never have a place again. In that moment, go read Revelation 12. God kicked him right out of heaven and he was done for. He can't even go and stand before God like in the time of Job and say, "Do you know that old Job is doing well? What about you take his good stuff away?" He can't do that anymore. He has no more place in heaven. He was done for. He's over. He's out. He has no power. Remember my old silly story? He has no arms and legs because he was defeated and disarmed. Thank you. Some of you got it at least. But it's the truth. That thing is defeated and disarmed. He has nothing left. All that's left is just the last little bit of twitching that's going on. Don't make a mistake, and I'll come back to that. He's still very dangerous. Although he's been defeated, he's still kicking, still twitching. Be very careful of that. But in that moment that all of this happened, there was this moment, says Paul in verse 18, where Christ took up the supremacy. Did you see that beautiful English word? In Greek, it's even a bigger word. The supremacy of everything. Everything. All powers, all authorities, all principalities, all lords, all kings, all everything in this world was brought under the supremacy of Christ. Because in any case, he said in the beginning, when this world was created, it all was done in him and through him and by him. Satan came and took that away, and Christ took that on that cross, and he became King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's no one in this world that can stand above Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is there a Baptist that can say amen? Thank you, Presbyterians. Jesus is the King of the Kings and the Lord of Lords. What are the consequences? Because you're saying, yeah, we know that, Aubrey. Really? There are consequences if we say Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me show you a little of that in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. And Ted, put up that slide. It's easier to read it from there, please. So look at this. When you were dead in your sins, and uncircumcised in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. So let's just stop there. You were dead. Sin was your boss. All of this was on you. You couldn't move. And then God said, come alive in Christ. How? He forgave us all of our sins. And then he did the most amazing thing. He canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He took it away by doing what? By nailing it to the cross. Let me explain this little bit to you. In the Greek, he only uses one word for all those words that we have there. He says, and God did a chairographo, and he took that away. Chairographo, or chairographon in the Greek language, in the apocalyptic literature, was when the angel of death would come to visit you, he would bring your death sentence or the letter of death against you, and it was called a chairographon. And we lived under sin, and sin brought to each one of us a letter, and it was a chairographon, your death sentence. And he handed that out, and we were condemned. And we were on death row. All that needed to take place is we had to die, and it was gone. And in the moment Christ Jesus came into the world, God said, let me take that away. And what did he do? He put all of those death sentences on who? On Jesus. And then he nailed that all to the cross. And when Jesus died, all of those death sentences disappeared. They were taken away. And our sins were taken away. And the power of sin over my life was taken away. And there is no note written against me or you or any of us. When we stand before our Father God one day and we stand there, there's going to be one word. Well, maybe a few, because some of you have long names like this. It's going to be your name. When you stand before God, Revelation 12, or a little before that even, speaks about the books and the book. In the books will be written the names of those who did not know Jesus as Lord and Savior and all the things they did, and they will be condemned because of that. But the children of God, their names are written in a small book, and all that's written in that book are the names of his children, because all this condemning stuff, this chairographoi, they're all taken away. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now look at this verse 15. Not only did he take our sins away, but he disarmed the powers and the authorities. And he made a public spectacle of them by triumphing over them at the cross. There's my introduction. They were laughing. And then they realized we lost. Can you remember I told you a few weeks ago, I told you the story about this. It's an Old Testament image. When a king would go to conquer a city and they would besiege the city, at last they would take the city. They would take the king and all his soldiers outside the city. They would gather the people of the city on the square. Outside the city, they would strip the king and all of his soldiers of all of their clothes. And then they'd herd them into the city like cattle and make a spectacle of them in front of their people. And the triumphant king would be put on the shoulders of his soldiers and brought in, and the name of this king would be called out over the city. That's the image. When God took this death letter away, he did more than that. He put us in this wonderful victory march of Jesus. And he makes a spectacle of all of these powers, authority, sin, Satan, that think they have power in my life. And he says, look at them, laugh at them. They're disarmed. They're defeated. There's nothing left because on the cross, I took that away. And now I'm taking you with, and you are part of my victory march. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why do we have to say that? Paul explains this in those two verses, 15 to 17 and 18 to 23. 15 to 17, he says, this had to happen because what you did was the problem. He says, the problem is we allowed these powers. we allowed these authorities, we allowed Satan, we allowed sin to become much stronger and much more than it ever was. And it started taking over our lives, and they became the Lord and the King of our lives, and they ruled our lives and took us to where we were not under the authority of Christ anymore. It was our fault. That's why Jesus had to do this, because we allowed all of these things to come in and do what they are not allowed to do, what they are not supposed to do. And you know that, and I know that, that to this day, we still often allow these things to come into our lives. Second part of the verse of the hymn goes a little further. It says, and because of that, God had to do something. And what did God do? I'm going to teach you Greek again this morning. Isn't this fun? I'm going to teach you another Greek word this morning, but it's not going to be written up there. It says, verse 20, and at the cross, God reconciled everything with himself. The Greek word for reconcile is apokatalasso. It's a beautiful word. Let me try and explain apokatalasso. It means to put something in its correct place or in its place of harmony again. To put something in its correct place or in its place of harmony again. What happened? We allowed these powers and these authorities and all of these things to get out of place, and we gave them a place which they did not have, above Christ, above God, above everything. And then they put us out of place because they made us slaves, which we were not. So when God reconciles, God puts everything in place. And see how cool this is. So God puts Satan in his place, under the feet of Jesus. God puts sin in its place, under the feet of Jesus. God put all the powers and all the authorities in their place under the feet of Jesus. And then he put us in our place. But I should say it this way. And then God put us in our place. He picked us up and he put us on Father God's lap, where Father God holds us in his arms and speaks into our ears and whispers into our hearts, because that's the place where we should be. And then he did a third thing. He put Christ in his place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, at the right hand of the Father, where he reigns. And that's why in Philippians, can you remember Philippians chapter 2? Paul can say these beautiful words. Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that what? Jesus Christ is the Lord. God reconciled everything in this world, put them all in their place, and you and I have a brand new place where we should be, in the heart of our Father. So there's two things I want you to notice. It's a caution, but it's also this joy, knowing that I'm there. The caution is this. Be careful of the powers and the authorities and of sin and of Satan. They're there. But they're kicking and they're shouting and they're hurting. And they'll wait for you. And if you walk close enough, it will trip you. If you go play with them, they will hurt you. If you get close enough, they'll get their arms around you, because you're playing with fire. They're still there. Revelation 12 says it very, very clearly. It says, woe to you, earth, and people of the earth, because Satan now has come from heaven, because God kicked him out, and he is rampant among you. Be very careful. That thing is defeated, but that thing is still so dangerous. Don't go play with him. Don't go give him a place that is not his place. The second caution. You have a new place. Jesus has a new place. So give him the priority in your life that he needs, because Jesus needs to be, if you want to walk with him, priority number one in your life. You cannot say my family and then Christ. You cannot say my work and then Christ. You cannot say my children and then Christ. You cannot say my church and then Christ. You cannot say my ministry. No. Christ. Luke chapter 14. If anyone wants to be my disciple, they cannot be my disciple unless. And then Jesus uses a huge Greek word. Unless they miseo, unless they hate their father and their mother, their wife and their children, their brother and their sister. When he uses the word hate, he doesn't mean I need to hate Elsie and hate my kids. What he means is this: I cannot put Elsie before God. I cannot put my children before God. I cannot put my grandchildren before God. Jesus needs to be number one in my life, and that's the caution. If you want to walk with Jesus and he's given you a new place, then he needs to be number one in all I do. Second thing, but it's also a comfort. What are the things that make you lie awake at night? What are the things that scare you? What are the things that kind of grip your heart so often that you don't know what to do with them? Can I tell you what to do with them? Can you put them in their place, please? Because you see, the moment we allow these things to become stronger and more in our lives, they take the place of Jesus, and they take the place of the power of Jesus, and they become powerful in our lives. Please don't. Here's the comfort. Who is bigger than Jesus? Who is more important than Jesus? Who loves me more than Jesus? So how can I let these things come and then get a place in my life which they don't have? Their place is there. So when you lie awake and when these things come at you, please, in that moment, will you just sing that song? He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lords, glory, hallelujah. Because that's who Jesus is in my life. Because you have been reconciled with him. You've been given a new place, little child, in the hands and the arms of your father. Let me end. There's a beautiful old song that we sang. It says, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. Yes, he's got the whole world in his hands. That's who Jesus is. Who else can take that place? He is the King. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer.